Blog Talk Radio.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Every breath that I am
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Words from the Word. This is going to be a unique coming together today. Overseer is about to hit the road on her way to Cleveland, and yet God has word for us, and we come to rejoice and to celebrate. We come to feast at his table. Now I'm transitioning from the house to the car, so you may hear some bumpity bump and boopity boop, but just remember that it is all to the glory of God, because he has been so gracious to us, and he has just blessed us tremendously, and we are so grateful to him. We are so thankful. Do it over. Let it come back. Yes, yes, yes. And so now we have personalities. Overseer needs everybody to pray for the first family. Hallelujah. Some are going now. Some are coming later. Some are there already. And we thank God for that. Thank God for their willingness to come and to share and to give Overseer a treat. I don't know how long it's been since I've had a road trip. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. So, what now? Well, my book is in the back. Well, I am ready. We are looking at Hell's Toxic Trio. And in looking at this, we are able to glean some things that God needs for us to be ever aware of, truthful to, and to have the power over, because it has been exposed, an exposure of the enemy, so that the strategy of the Lord will stand strong against all of the conspiracy that the enemy may have in mind for us. And so we thank God for that. We look at some things concerning the unseen realm. The unseen realm. This is the realm of the dimension of the spirit. This is where those things concerning the spirit realm are taking place. There's a hierarchy. There is a whole life. Move that back. There's a whole life that's going on in the spirit realm. A whole world, a whole dimension of activity, a whole dimension of consciousness. We want to look at that word dimension. We look up some things so that we can get a fuller understanding of what they mean. And so what is dimension? I think dimension was a word that I kept trying to go beyond, but the Lord didn't want me to go beyond it. He wanted me to stop and to investigate that word. And so that word dimension is the quality of spacious extensions. There were about five different definitions, and I will share them all. This is just out of the dictionary type of definition. The magnitude or size, dimension. We are looking at definitions for dimension. Dimension, a likeness or realist quality. We keep looking at that word quality, not quantity, but quality. The range over which or the degree to which something extends. Now we're looking at it as the scope, usually used in the plural, but the scope, the vast dimensions a disaster, how much the size of it, where were the quality of it, where did it start, where did it end? And then one of definition of dimension is is one of the elements or factors making up a complete personality or entity. And that's one of the definitions we want to kind of put a pin in, aspect. So the word that may be a, word in a place of it is aspect, dimension, the aspect of God, the aspect, the scope, the size, the magnitude, all words that when placed in framework of defining the living God, they take a whole different aspect. When defining the scope, if you will, of the spirit realm, when defining the scope or the aspect of the entity of God, it brings us to a vision of magnitude and size, the spacious extension of size. In math, the word dimension is the power of such a unit, any of the fundamental elements, and that's the mass, the length, the time, on which a unit is based. Dimension, the power of such a unit. The level of extinction, existence, and consciousness. The level of extinction and consciousness. And so we see that this word dimension has to permeate our mindset. We need to kind of shift today from the natural. Remember, we're looking at those things that are from the spirit realm, the unseen. And because it's unseen, it becomes difficult for us to visualize it. It becomes difficult for us to look at it and grasp the scope of it, because our minds and our mindset are limited to actions that are seen, and they always seem to invade our thinking on things that are unseen. And that's where we walk by faith and not by sight, because we have to diminish our sight, diminish our insight to that we see, in order to have the scope of what is unseen, so we understand where it is we are in Christ. Because in Christ, remember, you are seated in heavenly places. It's hard to understand heavenly places. It's a place that we have pictures of based on certain things that have come into our sight gate, our eye gate. So we are limited sometimes in the insight of what all it is sharing to us that we have when it says we are seated in heavenly places. And so we look up at the stars, the sky, that's the heavens, are high above the earth, and we heard those things, we said those things, but we're coming into a season. We're coming into a time where this is going to take on a more physical revelation than it's a spiritual revelation, but of the spirit realm of the, it's physical because it actually exists, though it exists in the spiritual. And so we tend to think that which is spiritual is what it is, separate from that which is natural. But what we're going to understand is we dwell in two dimensions. So we have this earthly dimension that we are in and we interact with. And yet we are citizens of a different dimension, spirit world. When we accepted Christ, as our Savior, and we were born again. And we often hear that, how many times we've said it. We're going to come to understand that I was born again into a new dimension. I started to exist in a new place that I had never existed before. And in this place, there are realities of the spirit realm that I am just not familiar with. So I'm going to try to interpret them with the mindset of what I've seen and experienced in my life on earth. So we want to be able to go beyond that in this season so that we can glean what God is saying to us about this unseen realm, this realm that we are citizens of. How many times have you said you were a citizen of heaven? And you believe that. And yet, how much of the concept of being a citizen of heaven do we have other than a natural understanding of what it means to be a citizen? And yet, for some of us, because we've never left this country and for any extended period of time, some people have, and when they have an advantage because they understand there are other realities in the world existing today, right now, that are in great conflict with the way we exist here in America. And so they have a greater understanding of being a citizen of another kingdom, of another place, of another realm, not realm, but another place. Because they've been in different places, now the mind of their understanding are being enlarged, expanded, because it includes that reality that they physically see. So I hope this is making sense, because we need to, before we can go any further in the next that is before us, there are some definitions and things that we're going to have to redefine. One of the things, the class of ordination, you have to roll the window up. The class of ordination is they're being redefined. They're being redefined. So you're taking what you know and you're presenting it somewhere so that it can be shaped and formed in the reality of what it is, in the spiritual reality of what it is. So it's not easy to dwell in two dimensions, which is why he said you can't serve man and God. You can't do it. You can't be in two dimensions. And so what we're understanding is we're being overtaken more and more every day. We decrease so that God may increase, and our dimension and our experience, if you will, our encounter with the spirit realm becomes more and more, and we understand it, and because of the encounter and the understanding we have of it, we also are getting a better understanding of who we are and whose we are. And so we think of that always. We've said it. We've encouraged each other with it, with our children. Remember whose you are. You belong to the living God, the God of all creation. You know, and yet there is a dimension of his creation that we just do not have a concept of, for the vastness of it, for the dimension of it, for the size of it, for the scope of it, for the aspect of it, and his relationship to it. We know he created all things, and we say that. We believe that. And yet there are so many all things that we have no idea of, so it limits the scope of who we know he is. So we can give a blanket, yep, he created everything. But as we go detail by detail, and as he reveals his universe, as he reveals the magnitude and the scope and the aspect of the spirit realm that he's in charge of, we start to develop a different mindset. That's how we transform our thinking. When we realize we are not limited by the scope of what our eyes have seen and what we have experienced in the natural, because there is another dimension that I am a part of. We are a part of the spirit realm. And so now that we're understanding that we are a part of the spirit realm, we need to get a instruction on navigating it or dwelling in it, and not navigating, but dwelling in it, because we are citizens. So we're not going through. We are here. We are establishing. And that's what it means to establish the kingdom of the Lord, of God. That's why Christ is going to come for 1,000 years to establish this kingdom. There's so much about it that we don't know that we're going to get an encounter with him at the head of, that's going to prepare us for heaven. We can't just obviously go from here to heaven or to be a done deal. But Christ is coming back to rule and to reign. And those that love him are going to rule and reign with him. And we'll be the ones in charge. But we'll be in charge to understand the scope and the aspect and the magnitude and the size of this spirit realm, this realm, this heaven, oh, this place where the power of the unit of who God is supreme. It makes Lord of Lords and King of Kings have a different understanding. As I shared earlier, people that have gone into other countries and been witness to other governments and other other rules of engagement, if you will, other laws, even the fact that in certain places you drive on a different side of the street. So you can't go in those places and bring your rule from America, where we drive on the right side, and you're in Europe when they drive on the left side, because you will shipwreck. And that's what will happen when we go into that spirit realm unprepared. We go in that spirit realm without being my people perish for lack of knowledge. So you're going to shipwreck, and you're going to shipwreck other people, because you're going in a place, in a direction that is not suited for the culture that you want to bring people in, which is the culture and the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so there does exist, and it is real. And there are things that sometimes will manifest themselves, encounters you may have in powerful worship services where the spirit realm comes and kisses the natural realm, and it brings with it the supernatural miracles and events that can only happen in the spirit realm. And so we understand that there are a time, and there is a an assignment of us, for us, on us, to us, to be the conduit in which that supernatural encounters from the kingdom and the spirit realm are manifested here on earth. That's the power of the Holy Spirit to manifest the power of the kingdom of God here on earth through God's children. And so when we see the dimension, when we see the quality and the quantity and the magnitude, and still we can't fully grasp it, our minds are so restricted, and that's why we're told to have a renewed mind. And we realize that this renewed mind comes as we recognize and embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because he's going to give us the truth of heaven. He's going to deliver to us the Christ likeness that we need to embrace in order to be transformed into this kingdom. So he's our interpreter. He is our liaison to heaven. We got our passport through Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the one that you run to. You know, you're in a foreign country and you're not sure what's going on and what the deal. You find the American embassy. Because, you know, there, they got my rules. There, I can understand what it is I'm to do. That's the same way in the kingdom of God. And if that ambassador are us, but the place we run to is in the Spirit. It's running to the ministry of the Holy Spirit to release on earth what God has established for that period in time. And so we're at this place of the dimension. I need my glasses. The black one. Yeah. So over here, at the dinner, yeah. They're in that plastic bag. Okay, okay, we're going to try to do it without readers. Maybe. So when we look at the authors, is that closer or something? Okay. Questions, comments, insights. I need y'all to talk to me. What? All right. So the author starts his book in the place of the visions that occur in the prophetic, in the coming together of individuals with the kingdom of God in their experience in the spirit realm. And I'm sure some of you have had experiences in the spirit realm, some that were kind of overwhelming. They're awesome. One of the things the author shares with us is this dimension of the glory that of God, and it is so heavy that it displaces demons. And so just understanding that spirit realm, that dimension, and looking up even the word glory, which we have said, we testified to, and understanding what that glory looks like and what it means. And that is our, the glory is the honor that's won by notable achievement, the magnificence or great beauty, the honor won by great achievement. And that's the place that God is in our life and in our understanding, and for us to be able to glean what that really means. It says, when my soul, when I think about the goodness of God, my soul shouts hallelujah. There is an explosion every time we get a full view and knowledge of something concerning God and who he is and what he has done and how he has done it. And that is his glory. His glory falls, rises, comes where we are. The scope and the aspect of his glory comes when we become familiar with who he is. We have shared before as it relates to being in another country and understanding certain things that aren't culturally common in America. But one of the things, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, we really don't understand a Lord nor a King. We haven't had to live under the power and the influence of a Lord or of a King. But now when you say master, you take us into a different mindset that we have knowledge of, that we've had an encounter with, that we have an understanding of what a master is. So when we say King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's master of all masters. And so that gives us a working understanding of this aspect, this magnificent achievement, this beauty, this soul, this aspect of who God is. And so when you have that, you associate it with the things you associate with that word master. And when you realize that he is it overall and any master, then that has a different, we get a different view. We get a different concept and understanding of the scope and the magnitude of that unit of power that God is. I was going to say has, but that he is. He is the master of masters. So King of Kings. We're not really, we've seen the, I think, Prince Charles was coronated as a king. And it was a lot of pomp and circumstance. There was a lot of spiritual, there was a deep spiritual element involved in his coronation. And I believe it's so that those that live in England will revere the kinghood because of the King of Kings. So we have a king, and then the King of Kings is over our king. And so that gives them this kind of fear and respect, fear meaning reverence, respect for King Charles. Now, a lot of us in other countries think, well, what does he do? You know, why does a country take care of him and all his offspring all their lives forever, no matter what? Why? You know, what prompts them, what prompts a country to give of them itself like that? Their king, when you're over in England, they are very respectful of the king, and we're very disrespectful. I know I was, because I didn't understand. I mean, they really do have people standing in front of an empty castle, not moving 8 hours at a time in honor of a king that ain't even there. You know, he's at a different home or whatever, but whatever he possessed is guarded like that. Can you imagine what we would be like if we did that for God? Everything that represents him, we stood on guard like that. Never, no matter what you do to those soldiers, they don't flinch. You don't get their attention. They look straight ahead. They are focused on the duty that they have, and they're trained to do that, because they have that reputation. That's people's greatest, or one of their to-do lists, to get one of those soldiers to laugh or smile or nod at them or whatever, and they won't. They will not. And that's what we need to glean from that country that understands what a king is. And so when we understand we are the King of Kings, how much more powerful interaction we should have with God on a level where we don't fear. We don't fear. We don't look at we don't look at defeat. It's like it's impossible. That's just not a term. One of the things we realize is that once we become children of God, sons and daughters of the living God, we have heaven's DNA in us. We have God's DNA in us. And there are certain things, just like the DNA that's in you now, those that basically are on the line, are you the DNA of an African American person. And no matter what you do to change that, as my grandson say, customize your character with whatever color eyes and hair and legs and chest and whatever, no matter how you choose to customize it, you are an African American. You cannot change the genes. You can change the hormones that come from them. You can do a lot of things, but you cannot change the DNA. And so what we realize is, ooh, heavenly places. There are certain things that just can't happen to us, with us, because, and on us, because of heaven's DNA. But when we don't understand that fully, when we don't have the grip on what that truth really means, the author shares about the fact that of the spirit part of us, our being. It contains heavenly DNA. Our spirit is not ever depressed. My spirit does not desire the nature of the enemy nor lust after the works of hell. When we are born again, the kingdom comes to rest in our spirit with all power and authority. When we believe that, when we understand that, when we get a deeper dimension of the realm that we're living in and dwelling in, then we understand how the power that we have. We understand the authority that we are given. And it says the enemy works to bombard and overwhelm us, is to trap us in a vaguely being poor elements, from the poor elements of earth. But God has called us to soar high above the works of darkness. That's why he said you'll be a light in a dark place, because that darkness does not have dominion over you. It can't, because that's not the dimension that you are dwelling in. The dimension you're dwelling in is that light that filters through you when you're in both dimensions. Because remember, we live in both dimensions. And so, one, we are there to transform the dimension, to transform the earthly realm so that it conforms to the spirit realm, and that it honors the God of glory. And so we want to be able to get glean the power that this dimension of God's glory is releasing to us. It says there is a fury move coming forth. We have to wait on it. And laborers, we are laboring for it. The Lord told the author that the fire and glory will be carried by the pure. He is going to use those who have refused to change their message to please religious spirit. He is mantling those who have chosen not to bow to political systems in the church, but have stayed tuned into what heaven is declaring. They will operate in this next level of fire and glory. Fire and glory, fire of God, glory of God, the next level. I need for us to see how just even in this one paragraph on page 2, it's dealing with the influence of the seven mountains. And that influence is to come from those who are pure, those who have been refined, those who have received an understanding of the dimension that they're in, thereby understanding and knowing the power that they have, and surrendering and surrendering that power and that authority and their life to that way of life that is carried by the pure. That's that soldier that stands in front of the castle or all things concerning the king, and not compromise, not move, and not what do you call it? They do not accept any disruption in the things relating to the king. And so we have this visual of the influence that we have, but only after we understand the dimension and the glory that we are dwelling in, this unseen realm. We must live in this unseen, we are living in this unseen realm, and we must understand what the, what do you want to call it, what the rules are, what the law is, what the truth is about the realm that we live in, and the fact that the realm we live in is over and above the realm that the kingdom of darkness is dwelling in. And so once we understand that, we face all kinds of things quite differently. We understand that we don't have to move. I love that visual of those soldiers. And if you've ever seen it, it really is very, very amazing. So it's not like, ooh, I got to go to the bathroom, I'll be back, lifting a finger and tipping out. Never, never. I don't know how they train them, and I think they eat different so that their body's function will be in line with what their requirement is. And we can do the same thing. We have to understand that there is a strategy that God has for us, but we have to understand what that strategy is. There's certain things you don't have to get a headache. You don't have to get tired. There's certain things that limit us in doing some of the things that the Lord would have us do, or to doing them the way the Lord would have us to do. But because of the natural has raised up as though it has more authority than the spirit realm, we oftentimes are distracted by it, and we succumb to it. That's when this spirit on the church, of the seven churches, all of this stuff is all interactive. It all relates to the same thing. It is all God's way of giving us all things that we need for victory. He said he will make a way of escape, because he'll give you a light. It'll shine on it. He'll show you the conspiracy of the enemy. He'll show you the instructions for the pure and for the saints. He'll give you the power to and the promises that you need to do the things that he is requiring. He released the blood of Jesus that will give us an empowering and a purity that will allow us to be in this earthly realm. But we don't have to tolerate some things. Some things we tolerate, and at first they don't seem like really bad things. But that's how the enemy gets us. He starts by making something acceptable. We know it's not right, but it's acceptable. That's the way to destruction. We look at it and we assess it as being acceptable. It's not that bad. How many times have you said it's not that bad? Okay? That means you accept it. You accepting that, you accepting the lack of glory of God. You really are. You are denying the very power of God because you accept it and you don't want to compromise. The Church of Thyatira, which I believe that that's one of the things that were addressed in this part of the book chapter, and it says they tolerated pagan cults, idolatry, and immorality. And we may think, oh, I don't worship Buddha or that sort of thing, or I'm not a member of a, you know, James Manson cult or whatever. But there are certain things that we are in line with, in harmony with, lined up with, that are there's not that bad. Okay? Well, that is the way to destruct it. That's how the enemy starts. And then the next thing from it's not that bad is then we compromise. Well, it's okay if they do this or if they did that. It'll be all right. No, it won't, according to God's word. It will not. It is the path to destruction, because God knows he understands the conspiracy that is against us, and he has a strategy for it. And he tells us in his instructions to the church. So just repent. You don't have to tear down three walls and build a monument and then get a church and a worship center and then get 5 million leaders, followers. You don't have to just repent. That's all you have to do. Repent. Now, there's a promise to you when that happens. Until I come. So that's something else. We have to know what to hold on to. We have to know that he's coming. And we know that he's coming, but do we believe he's coming? Do we live like he's coming? Do we live like he is coming today? Because a day is like 1,000 years. There is a reward. And it's not that we do it for a reward, but we do it for the reverence, love, and fear that we have for the Lord. And that's that part of that seventh sixfold function of the Holy Spirit, a fear of the Lord, a fear of a reverence that will cause me to surrender absolute all, that will cause me to redirect and redefine my life so that I go by God's standard, and it will produce a transformed body that has been overtaken by the Spirit, and thereby not ever and not at the whim of the world and the flesh and earthly things, not subject to it, not turning in the wind to the right or to the left, but rather giving standing, having done all, stand. Even though the soldiers in front of the castle are fully armed, they're fully dressed, impeccably dressed. They're all dressed the same based on who and what their assignment is. You know, all of these things are very important, very important. Their lives are lined up with their family, understanding what it is they do, much like the priests in Bible times. And there were times that the priests, the Levites, their job was to wait on the Lord. Their job was the tabernacle and to tend to it in every need that it had without deviation, without distraction, you know, and without, well, with pure hearts, actually, which is why they had the lever and the things of that nature. So we definitely want to get to an understanding that the Lord shows us how the things he is revealing has everything to do with the book of Revelation and the seven churches. It has everything to do with the influence that the church is to have in the cultural streams that affect people's lives, in their education, in the government, in the family, in the business, in art and entertainment, in the media. I hope I got everybody. And so we are to be the ones that are the advocates in those places. We are to be the ones that are the intercessors in those places based on exactly what that place needs. And so when we look at the failures of the cross, that becomes of the church. Those failures become our intercessory prayer focus. We pray that we don't tolerate pagans. We first pray that we can identify who they are and what it is that is a pagan, what it is that is a cult, what it is that is idolatry, what it is that is immorality, and some things that may seem, well, it's not that bad. How is the God side view of it? What is it? There's no big sin and little sin. All of it is sin, and it is an abomination to God. And there is no gray line. It is only black and white. And so often you'll people say, well, you know, it may be. There is no black and white. God didn't say, yes, don't do this, but, you know, well, I don't know. He's not indecisive. He was very, very clear with what he said. And he was even more clear with what he provided to us so that we could overcome where we were and what was going to come up against us. And so we just thank each one of you for sharing today. So your phone's off mute. Questions, comments, insights? Anybody?
Good morning, Minister Paulette.
Good morning, Elder.
I'm just enjoying your teaching because you get so much out of things. And, you know, I often tell you that you pull so much out. And I say, Lord, why am I mad? No, what's going on?
Bless you. Bless you.
I read it. When you get through explaining and everything, I said, wow. So I've enjoyed you, and you shed a lot more light on what, you know, I was getting from it when I read it. Mm-hmm. But I said I was going to read that chapter over again because there's so much in it.
Amen. Amen.
I don't think it's something that you can just flat, you know, or should just, you know, flat through it. He's saying so much, you know.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, thank you for that insight. I think anybody that teaches, preaches, comes up when they got to make a presentation, you do all your preparation, and when you get up there, God changes everything. It's like, okay. And, my testimony, honestly, my testimony is he does this. That's why I'm so excited about it, because I know it's not me. And when I see these things and he shows them to me, I'm just amazed. I think I learned more, you know, when I talk than I did when I studied. Because they're his words, and he brings them together. And, you know, sometimes he said quicker than my tongue can, you know, get it out, you know. But I'm excited about us in this season, because, we're being so prepared for a power. And a fire, it's a fire movement is coming by God. And it's going to start in the church, because we got to get pure. We can't displace a principality if we got our foot and sitting at his table. So, you know, we tell him he wrong, and he telling me, you know, well, what you doing in my house? You know, I must not be too wrong. And then I'm going to justify myself. Oh, well, yeah, you're right. I mean, after all, I'm only human, or God ain't finished with me yet, or whatever. Anytime we say God is not finished with me yet, we need to repent. Because he's through with you for that moment. He's done what you needed for that moment. So he tells us that all we need, you know, he will provide. So that we're trying to judge, you know, it is not our job, not even ourselves. Our job is to evaluate, is to surrender, is to put before him what he would have us to look at, to do, to release to him. Wonderful. Thank you.
And when I was reading it, especially his vision, I was trying to see when did he write the book, but I couldn't find it.
Yeah,
I couldn't find it. But that was a really powerful vision that the Lord gave him, and I said, "Wow."
Yeah.
I think that kind of touched on what you and I were talking about yesterday as well. And we were talking about aesthetic. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Amen. 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 Anybody else? Thank you, Elga. Courage, Marco.
Yes, I was trying to find, because I wrote in here when I was reading. I'm trying to see where I wrote it. Now I can't find it, only because I'm on. Maybe I was. No, I think. You know, sometimes when you read it and you respond to some of the
some of what's being said, you can apply it to yourself.
Yes.
I don't see it. Oh, do you desire to have, he asked a question, do you have a passion for seeing and experiencing the Bible and the glory of God? Do you desire to see churches filled with light and power? Do you want to see the Bible spread across the land? And do you desire to have the keys that unlock doors and open the way for salvation, healing, and deliverance? If your answer is yes, then I believe you have the right book in your hand. And
yeah.
So I wrote down there yes, but I know that there is a in all of that, I always said there is a price to pay for all of this stuff.
Yes.
And you know, sacrifices, well, maybe not necessarily call it sacrifices, but in a manner it is, because you know, disciplining yourself to you know, make that time with God and disciplining, training your ears, like you say, to hear and see. And then I had wrote, I found it, but we're not that far, but I wrote, Father, give me clear direction. Give me clear direction. Holy Spirit, give me a radical pursuit that I may have spiritual progress to break up spiritual progress, breakthroughs, and exploits, that there may be supernatural displays of power for your glory, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's on in the chapter, but as I was reading, I was just, you know, making notes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a blessing, and I believe that, and because when you started talking, you know, and I was reminded of our conversation yesterday, and I think the fact that, you know, you can have our intercessory prayer, just a prayer, just like that one, you know, at the end of each one of these sessions, because this is a powerful time for us, and that intercessory prayer as well, anybody that is on the line that, while you're reading, if you can come up with a decree or declare, to decree and declare this thing, you know, to be released in the earth realm. And it doesn't have to be a long, just a sentence or two, but just something that we're releasing together in unity in on behalf of what God is doing in our lives and through our lives. And so definitely every week we want to have that prayer to close out, to seal, you know, and to water the roots of the word and the seed that he's planted in us. So I am just so excited. I really am. And I thank God because he is so faithful. He said he gave promises. And when we stand on those promises, you know, he brings it to pass. He brings it to pass. I never was frustrated, but I knew I was going to be headed to Cleveland, and I didn't know what time. I didn't know if I'd be there now, or I didn't know what it was. So when I found out we were leaving at 9, I thought, oh, goodness. So Elder Deborah called me, and she shared that she would be at a funeral. I talked to Elder Roberta. You told me yesterday you hadn't even had the book. So I'm thinking, oh, my God. And it's like, you know what, God, I'll do it. You know, you put it in my mouth, and I don't care where I am. That's what I'll do. And he has just moved so powerfully because he just wants us to be willing vessels. So obviously you found that book. Hallelujah.
After we talked, I called the store. And then I went right over and got it.
Amen. So I do. I want us to read this book with the churches, the seven churches, that little summary thing that has, because I need us to see what the church, how the church failed, the failure of the church, because the failure of the church was by the conspiracy of the enemy. And when you see the enemy of these different churches and how they fail, then you'll see where we are. And God said it when he did the revelation, you know, he that has an ear, hear, you know, what the Spirit is saying to the church. This doesn't have to be, okay? There is a way out. He said, I provided a way of escape. You know, I didn't told you what's going to happen. I told you who's going to do it. I told you how they're going to do it. I told you who is to be the ruling office from the kingdom, and I've told you what it's going to gain back for the kingdom, and I've told you the strategy. He put it all there in the book of Revelation for us to see, for us to know. That my people perish for lack of knowledge. We will receive the knowledge that God has for us, so that we not only don't perish, but those around us that are waiting for a word won't perish either. So I'm just so excited about this book and about our time together. Just our time together is powerful time of feasting, of being in heavenly places, receiving, you know, intensively the instructions in the Word of God and the revelation of the Word, and the interpretation of the Word, and the power of the Word, and the blood that's on the Word, and the promises on the Word, everything we need. So I just rejoice and am exceedingly glad. Amen. Anybody else? Thank you, Elder.
You want us to read the churches? You say you want us to read this in Revelation about the churches?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Send everybody the chart, because if you just keep the chart in your book, and when you read something, familiarize yourself with the chart and all of those things that were a failure of the church. And so when you read in this conspiracy, just make a note of it. This is the church of Thyatira, or this is the church of whatever. Ephesus, thank you. They're helping me out. Hallelujah. You know, so what it is, and then see what the Lord says about that church. He has a word for us. Huh? Yeah. So, you know, and then it's a promise. You know, not that we do things for reward, but there is a reward. Okay? And we are to, I'm going to say not expect the reward. We are to anticipate the reward, because the anticipation of the reward is the dimension of the glory of God that we will release on the earth realm. Now, he came up with that. I like it. I really do.
Amen.
Amen. I think I heard Elder Deborah. Are you there?
No, that was Minister Pat. I was just saying the half an hour that I did get to hear was enlightening. And I was glad to be able to get to some of it. I was at an appointment, but I did text you to say, I'm sorry, I'm at an appointment, but I'm on now. So thank
Amen.
You. And I'm glad you all made it safe.
Oh, we ain't made it yet. We on the road.
Oh, wow. Y'all doing good. It's so clear.
God is awesome. Awesome, God.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. My son told me this morning, he said, oh, Mama, you're getting ready to go on the road. You know, I said, it's been 3 years. You know, he's that long. If I get hooked up, okay.
Oh,
so I thank God.
Yes.
God, I'm so blessed. I am. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Minister Pat. It's always good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. All right. So we definitely are entering into the month of July next week. This time is flying. And we'll continue in chapter one. At the end of each chapter, there are a group of questions to consider, and there is a prayer. And so I just want you to kind of look at that first and then read so that it gives you a focus on what you're reading and what you're looking for. It gives us more of an insight opening the pages before us. So anybody else? Is there another? All right. You must be going through the mountains. My ears are popping. Well, praise the Lord. Pray for traveling mercies and family fun. Family fun.
Yes.
I think everybody fun. When families get together,
yes,
it is a blessing. We're going to take pictures and love each other. And
will you enjoy? Have fun.
Enjoy, yes.
Have fun, stay safe. And safe travel.
Yes, yes. Love you all.
Love you.
Bye-bye.